Welcome back to Radio Physics, a collaboration with the Aspen Center for Physics, KD&K Community Radio in Carbondale, and physics students from local high schools. Interns spend 2 weeks working at the center during the summer and get to talk one-on-one to some of the prominent physicists who are here. I'm Emily Taylor, and I'm hosting today's program, which is being recorded at the Aspen Center for Physics. Our interns today are William Jones, rising senior at Aspen High School, and Grace Hassel, rising senior at Colorado Rocky Mountain School in Carbondale, Colorado. They will interview Volodymyr Tehistev, a theoretical physicist who is a principal investigator and associate professor at the International Center for Quantum Field Measurement Systems for Studies of the Universe and Particles. He received his PhD in experimental physics from the University of California, Irvine, and has held appointments at UCLA and Kavli IPMU at University of Tokyo. His research interests are focused on uncovering the fundamental laws of nature through the interplay of particle physics, cosmology, and astrophysics. Let's get started.
Great, thank you. Hi, Volodymyr. How are you today?
Nice to meet you. I'm doing good.
Good, good. What brings you to Aspen? How did you find out about this place?
Well, I've been to Aspen several times before. Aspen is a very unique place as a retreat for physicists to come together and brainstorm different ideas and discuss physics and also enjoy nature and thinking outside of the conventional environment.
Yeah. How did you get into physics and how did you become interested?
Early on, I was already interested during school at thinking about the universe the fundamental aspects around of it. So when I went to university, I actually majored in physics and philosophy, sort of that continued on.
And you said you were an experimentalist first. What prompted that transition to be a theorist instead?
This is sort of a unique scenario in the sense that usually people are either theorists or experimentalists nowadays, since the fields are more specialized. However, I was always interested in both making predictions for observations, but also doing the observations themselves. And when I was already finishing my PhD in experimental physics, which actually happened to be on a very prominent experiment in Japan, I was also thinking about various ways how the predictions can be made for such experiments. So it was not completely out of the blue.
And what was the school experience like in Japan? What was the physics experience or the science experience there like?
Since I was in Japan primarily as a visitor on the major experiment, I spent some time in the mountains and also underground. This is an experiment that is 1 kilometer underground, Super Kimio Kande, which received actually Nobel Prize for the discovery of the neutrino oscillations. This happened in 1998, but the Nobel Prize was awarded later. And it's a major international collaboration, so people would visit for several months, and I visited there as a student myself.
Tell me more about that project in Japan. What you said it won a Nobel Prize, like, just what was it all about?
So the experiment is, as I mentioned, it's called Super Kimio Kande, and it's a water Cherenkov experiment. So it's basically an underground tank full of water with photomultiplier tubes on the sides, which serve as a detector. And when the charged particle comes in, it can travel faster than the speed of light in the medium. Of course, in vacuum, it cannot travel faster than the speed of light. And this results in emission of Cherenkov radiation, just like you would see on the pictures of nuclear reactors, this weird glow. And this is used to detect various interesting physics. And it was originally built to study decay of protons. So as you might know, protons are important fundamental constituents of everything around you, of all the matter. But in some fundamental theories, the proton is expected to decay and not be stable as we conventionally expect. So this was a major push for the experiment. But since it was such a wonderful general purpose experiment, it turned out that this is also a amazing experiment to study neutrinos, which are ghostly particles, which very rarely interact with matter as they pass through. And the experiment in 1998, they observed that the neutrinos, as they fly, they sort of they oscillate or transform into different constituents, and this signified that they have non-zero mass. And this was a major discovery for fundamental physics. And this is now one of the sort of cornerstones for a lot of neutrino physics that is happening around the world. There's now several major experiments that are being built, actually Hyperchemicon, which is the next generation in Japan, and in US there's DUNE, which is the major flagship experiment that is being built also to study neutrino physics. But there's many small experiments as well.
Wow. I read that you study neutrinos, black holes, and dark matter specifically. Why are those subjects like appealing to you, and what do they have in common, if anything, and does that play into why they interest you?
Yeah, thank you for the question. So these are all topics that are related to the fundamental questions about our universe. So, for example, dark matter is one of the major open questions in physics, but also in science in general, that out of all the matter that we have around us, it turns out that visible matter constitutes only a small portion. And the predominant constituent is so-called dark matter, which people have been observing through various gravitational interactions and astrophysical signatures. And there is now a variety of efforts to try to uncover what is the nature of this. And regarding black holes, it turns out that dark matter could either be some form of new particle. There's different possibilities that people have been thinking about, but also people have been appreciating that, in fact, dark matter could be sort of unusual black holes formed in the early universe that are distinct from the conventional black holes in astrophysics. And this has been a very exciting topic within the last several years, especially in terms of relation to the gravitational wave detection that has happened recently.
So you're saying that there are theories that dark matter and black holes are more related than we think they are?
Exactly. Yeah. And in fact, while conventional black holes are typically expected to be above a solar mass and quite sizable, in fact, these black holes formed in the early universe, they could make up dark matter being very, very small. In fact, even below the masses of planets.
Wow. All right.
When you say early universe, could you clarify what you mean by that?
Sure. Early universe here in this context would mean before star formation. So conventional black holes, are formed through astrophysical processes. So when the star, for example, goes supernova and so on, then you have a black hole, and then you can throw stuff in, it could eat stuff around and become bigger and bigger. But these black holes, which I'm mentioning, through variety of theories, they can form even before star formation, unrelated to it, and they could have distinct properties.
I also read that you work at the High Energy Acceleration Research Lab, is that correct?
Yeah, so the institute that is international institute where I work at, QUP, which is this international center supported by Japanese government, it is hosted by KAK, which is High Energy Accelerator Research Organization. This is a premier Japanese national lab for accelerator physics and high energy physics.
What are some examples of experiments or theories that you test in that accelerator?
So the the national lab hosts multiple experiments. It's a sizable organization. This includes, for example, Bell 2, which is a leading flavor physics experiment, but also it hosts such things as a photon factory or some even things related to condensed matter and testing new materials. Our institute, where I'm primarily appointed at, QEP, it's a new effort supported by Japanese government, which specifically focuses on discovering new quantum fields, for example, using new materials or quantum sensors.
Nice. Could you go back to Photon Factory? What is a Photon Factory?
I'm not involved much in those efforts, but there's a variety of ongoing experiments.
Right. So. I think I had a question.
What got you interested in science, like, in the first place?
Sure. So, as I mentioned previously, I was interested in fundamental questions about the universe, and sort of when I was entering the university, I chose both to major in philosophy and physics, which sort of, to me, seemed complementary in terms of thinking more about such things. So,
do you still hold that belief that philosophy and physics are very related in how you think of them?
It's a complicated question.
Yeah.
About the exact relationship between philosophy and physics, and this has been a matter of debate for a very long time in the history. I do think that sometimes philosophy could help clarify some questions.
If there's one question about the universe that you could answer, what would it be? What would you want to know the answer to?
Well, since right now I'm working a lot on the trying to make progress along with other people on the question, what is the nature of dark matter, I would be curious to see if there is a good answer to that question. And if we can see some manifestations of dark matter beyond its gravitational interactions, which is what we have seen thus far.
I asked this question to another physicist, and I'm curious to see your answer. It's a bit open-ended, but to what extent do you think the scientific community has enough resources to fully understand, or to ever fully understand, really what dark matter is?
Well, that really depends on what the nature of dark matter is. Nowadays, as you might know, as we are progressing in science, we are building bigger and bigger and more sensitive experiments. That, of course, costs significant funding. There's also right now a lot of effort going into a different range, considering more tabletop experiments, quantum sensors, and things like this, and thinking about new materials, and so on. And depending of what is the nature of dark matter, if it's some kind of a new particle, or, for example, if it's some mysterious black holes, and how such particles would interact, that would depend on what kind of instruments we will need to most precisely test it. Since we do not have a good answer or what it is, people are now motivated by various theoretical ideas, but also by new observations. They're searching very widely about different possibilities. But the precise answer to the question will depend on the nature of what it is.
Mm-hmm. If you would like dark matter to be anything, what would be most exciting to you if you were to discover what it was, and what would you like it to be? What would be most exciting? Does that make sense?
Since I cannot play God, and we are sort of all at the mercy of nature, and even nature is kind or unkind to us to reveal its constituents, then this is what it will be. Personally, I have been recently spending some time thinking about dark matter in terms of different types of black holes and what are the various observations that they could manifest.
So I still can't wrap my head around the fact that there could be black holes before stars. When you, you know, since you have experience as an experimentalist, like, could you describe kind of a couple of different experiments that you've thought of that would help? Or could you describe experiments that have happened that now kind of have made this theory possible?
Sure. So this actually is a very old idea, going back to Hawking, Zeldovich, and other people already for over 50 years ago. But recently, this idea came farther to light as we are now have entered the era of gravitational wave astronomy and the revolution of discovering gravitational waves by LIGO, that people have realized that perhaps some of the observations could be associated with some such black holes. But as I mentioned, since these black holes could be in a very distinct masses compared to astrophysical black holes, their observations could be widely different depending on their size. If the black holes are big, you would typically see them through them eating surrounding material and then re-emitting electromagnetic radiation, for example, associated with accretion disks or things like that. If black holes are a little bit smaller than lensing, which is gravitational lensing bending of light using gravity, that is turns out to be an excellent probe of such things. And if black holes are even smaller, for example, in the asteroid mass range, some ideas include, and this is something that I have worked on, for example, if tiny black holes could be swallowed by white dwarfs or neutron stars and then explode them from the inside, and you can look for various interesting signatures like that.
If you theoretically were to, if a white dwarf was to swallow a small size black hole and it were to explode it from the inside, what would that tell us, if anything? Like, what signals would that show us?
Well, this could lead, for example, to some unusual electromagnetic signatures that you would not expect from the conventional textbook astrophysics. Mm-hmm. That could also lead to, for example, especially in the case of neutron stars, to formation of solar mass black holes. So, for example, when a small black hole sits inside the compact star and eats it from the inside, even if some material is emitted, the rest will fall into the black hole. So mm-hmm. black hole grows bigger. Now, why is this interesting? Well, in conventional astrophysics, actually, you do not generically expect black holes to be below a few solar masses. Mm-hmm. So such unusual black holes would look quite strange from perspective of conventional astrophysics, and this could be interpreted as a hint of some new physics beyond what you would typically expect.
Interesting.
And perhaps connected to dark matter. Mm-hmm.
You've done physics in Japan, in California, and of course now you're in Aspen. Where is your favorite place to do physics?
Well, this is a little bit of a provocative question. But all of these places have a great environment to do physics. And of course, it is very exciting to be here in Aspen yet again, since this is a very sort of special retreat for physicists where people can focus in a very nice nature environment to think about physics beyond conventional settings.
Do you think there's something, have you ever had an aha moment on a hike here?
I'm not sure there was a particular singular aha moment that significantly changed my views on something. I have discussed many interesting ideas with people here that have later helped me thinking about some other things.
Yeah, what does your day-to-day look like?
Sure, thank you for the question. I work in a national lab in Japan, and my day-to-day basically is looking at the very different types of physics, having meetings, and so on. Since the environment is more national lab but not the university, there's not much teaching involved in such, but there's a lot more connections to various experiments and so on. So discussing with colleagues, various meetings, reading up on the various new developments, and thinking about different projects, doing calculations, things like that. I think this is a typical life or day-to-day for such scientists.
What do you think is the most important thing for someone to know who's thinking about a career in science or thinking about going into physics?
It is a very challenging but very, I think, exciting sort of field. Obviously, making progress in physics is difficult. I think that's true for everyone. And one perhaps should not expect that there will be groundbreaking discoveries every day and so on. But I think it is very exciting that you get to think about the fundamental laws of the universe, and that you can contribute to that in some way.
Is it ever frustrating, because you do a lot of thinking, is it ever frustrating if you get stuck on something and you can't really find a way around it?
I think at times that is true for everyone, but this is part of the game. As I mentioned, making progress is challenging, and very often you get stumbled on wrong answers, or you're pursuing sort of paths that end up not perhaps leading you where you thought originally. But this is part of sort of scientific research in general. So you cannot just, always come up with the correct answers or correct ideas or correct experiments and so on. So this is part of the deal. But I think that despite this, it is very exciting, and this is also part of the excitement, the discovery process itself, mm-hmm. and that you get an opportunity to contribute, to think about, fundamental laws of nature and how nature behaves, even on small scale.
Mm-hmm. Is there one book or one piece of work that you would recommend for young scientists to read or get into or anything?
Do you mean more of a popular science?
Is there any sort of popular piece of work that you would recommend anyone should read or digest?
I think for many physicists, the familiarity with some of Feynman's popular works has served as inspiration for some of them, such as, for example, "Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman." I think it's a very popular book that sort of instills enthusiasm and an interesting perspective of a life of a very prominent physicist.
Nice. I think we have time for one more question.
Maybe not in physics specifically, but in general, is there something that you've had to overcome in your career?
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, that there's a lot of challenges that one needs to go and that one continues to go throughout the career as a scientist. I'm not sure I want to single out one in particular, but it's not an easy pass, and there's a very significant amount of learning one needs to do and continue learning throughout the career, but I think this is also part of the excitement, part of the interest, so part of the discovering things to yourself.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your discoveries with us and for this interview. A big thank you to Volodymyr Tehistev and our high school interns, Will Jones and Grace Hassel. We hope you enjoyed this Radio Physics. For more information about our internship program and events at the Aspen Center for Physics, please visit our website at aspenphys.org or follow us on social at Aspen Physics.